Good morning. Please listen to the words of God. Psalm 78, verse 1 to verse 8. O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide this truth from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issues his laws to Jacob. He gave his instruction to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God.
Thank you, Pastor Simon, for reading scripture to us. And it's good to see all of you here today. Good morning. God Wei, Joe's son. Ni hao ma. Oh han hao. That's about the extent of my Cantonese and Mandarin, so please excuse me. We all love stories, don't we? Whether it be stories that we heard when we were growing up, stories where we came from and who we are. Stories are important and they need to be told to help us to understand, to help us to learn, to help us to look back, but also to help us to move forward. We had mentioned to our son, Chris, several times as he was growing up, how fortunate he was that he could know God at an early age. He was literally born into the church. Now, he was dedicated as a baby just months after he was born, and he knew of God's love for him, although he doesn't look very happy there. For my wife and I, we did not know of God's love until we were about 18 or 19 years old. We weren't even Christians when this picture was taken. I on the right was very self-absorbed, very thinking about myself all the time. And I was telling Chris, you're fortunate because you knew of God's love early on in your life. Your parents, your mom and I, we didn't know Christ until much later on. You see, stories are told from one generation to the next. They're passed from parents to their children, and to their children's children. And as we read earlier in Psalm 78, it was something that the people of God did. And they were instructed to do this often. It was to remind them of the covenant between God and his people, the faithfulness of God through the ages, the commands of the Lord, the meanings of certain things, certain events that took place, as well as times of transitions in leadership. These were when stories were told. And the Bible is filled with stories of faith, stories of individuals, of people, of communities, encountering God and experiencing his presence in magnificent and marvelous ways. Stories that tell of God's glorious deeds, his power, his mighty wonder. Now we need to tell these stories to our children. They need to remember it. They need to remember what the Lord has done and tell it to their children so that they would remain faithful as the next generation to God. And so, the stories of God in the Bible. Sanjoy. You see, God's faithful leaders have always reminded the people of God of the Lord's marvelous works among them. Moses did that as he led the people in the desert. He reminded them of God's faithfulness and covenantal love to them time and time again. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, it says this, "Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commandments always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country. What he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the water of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your for you in the wilderness until you arrived at this place." You know, referring to his provision of bread and water and meat when they were hungry and thirsty, and how the Lord went ahead of them in the pillar of cloud by day to guide them and to shield them from the heat, and in the pillar of fire by night to give them light and warmth, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, son of Eliab the Reubenite, when the earth opened his mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their whole households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw. And said, Moses was saying, because it was you and not your children who saw these things, you need to tell it to them. You need to continually remind them of the things of God that has taken place. And now Joshua, he did the same thing before he led the people of God into battle. And even after they settled into the promised land, he reminded the people of the works of God in their lives. How they saw with their own eyes what the Lord did for them and how he fought for them. He said to them, "You didn't do this with your own sword and bow. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness," Joshua tells them. There are just some of the stories in the Bible that we just went through. There are so many other stories that could be told. The story of Joseph and David, the prophets of old. The stories of Peter and John and Paul in the book of Acts. The story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus in the Gospels. The story of the prodigal son, the Samaritan woman. And of course, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Bible is filled with stories upon stories upon stories about God. Today, I want to share with you some other stories of God. It's the stories of God at Fraserlands Church. Sanjoy, Fraserland, God, wait, Dick Jotway. You see, at this time, brothers and sisters, at this time in the history of our church, as we're going through a period of transition and change, it's good for us to remind ourselves, especially the next generation and their children, what it is that the Lord has done at Fraserlands. And so I'm glad. I'm glad that our children are here with us this morning. I'm glad that our youth are here with us, our young adults, and even those not yet born. Esther Simo is ready to give birth any moment now. She's not due until end of May, but she's ready to give birth. Not today, okay, Esther? Not today. I'm glad that you're here. That you can hear of, that you can witness, that you can see for yourself the faithfulness of God in our church the past 27 years. Do not forget this. Remember these stories and tell it to your children's children and so on. Just out of curiosity, how many of you were not part? You were not part of Fraserlands in 1991 when we met at Champlain Heights Rec Center. These pictures, these places don't look familiar to you. Or how many of you were not part of the groundbreaking ceremony in 1992. So if you are not part of these events, could you please stand up where you are? There's quite a few of you. Thank you. Please have a seat. So let me just take this opportunity to tell you of the wonderful works of God in this place here with our church. And so let me just start with a preamble. A vote and a vision. First, an interesting vote. You know, it was in 1990 that a vote was to take place among the members of VCAC, Vancouver Chinese Lions Church, to determine if we're going to lease the land here and to build a church, or were we just to remain at Knight Street and focus on the ministry there? Now, this was an important vote, as we needed two-thirds majority in order before we can go ahead. And there were pros and there were cons on both sides. You know, and people were somewhat split on the issue. So it was important to vote. It was important to discern God's will together as a community. Now, it just so happened that on the same Sunday as the vote, many of us, those who are English-speaking from the English congregation at Knight Street, we had gone on a retreat with Joshua Fellowship at that time. It was a post-college career fellowship. We were at Timberline Ranch in Maple Ridge, which is about 45 minutes to an hour away. And so it wasn't a problem for us to come back to Knight Street to vote. It wasn't going to be a problem. The vote wasn't going to be until about noon or so after. But for whatever reason that morning, the campsite at Timberline Ranch, it got flooded with 2 to 3 feet of water, like everywhere on the campsite. Like on the roads, there would be 2, 3 feet of water. And we could not leave. We tried waiting for the water level to go down, but it did not go down. And it was getting close to vote time. We were getting anxious. We didn't know what to do. I think someone led us in prayer, you know, probably Nicholas. And then after we prayed, we knew we had to make it back on time. It was that important to us. We felt the conviction of God to start a church in this place. So after a time of prayer, someone suggested that we canoe out. We saw some canoes, you know, just stacked on a rack. And we asked the camp staff, you know, if we can do that. And they agreed. And so we literally packed our stuff, our suitcases, our sleeping bags, our pillows, into these canoes. And we paddled our way out on a road, on a street. We drive cars. We paddled down. And we got out of the campsite. That's where we had parked our cars. By the time we got back to church, to Knight Street, we were in pretty rough shape. Probably smelled a bit too. But we made our way to the sanctuary. And we got seated, and we casted our vote. Just in time. After waiting for the count, which seemed like an eternity, the result was announced, and two-thirds majority was achieved, although not by that much. And that's how Fraserlands Church got birthed that day. Now, I'm not sure if that story has ever been told, but remember that and tell it to your children. We actually have our own version of the flood story at Fraserlands. But instead of God parting the sea for us, he gave us canoes to paddle out. First, it was an interesting vote. And then second, it was an initial vision. Now, that's interesting to note what the initial vision of Fraserlands Church was. In a booklet that was published and put together way back when in 1990, it talked about how we wanted to share the vision with others. And it says this, as this Fraserlands Church was started in the summer of 1991, one of its main goals is to reach out to the developing Fraserlands community. It is our hope that we can be a church for the community and to bring the good news of the gospel to the lost. And at the same time, as this was being put together, an article was published by Faith Today in 1997. And there was an article featured in it which said, the title was, Chinese church welcomes non-Chinese. And it was written about Fraser Lands Church. And it said this: while the English-speaking Caucasian church ponders the best way to respond to the multicultural fabric of Canadian society, a Chinese church in Vancouver is taking steps to reach its non-Chinese neighborhood. Anyone can preach the gospel, and any people can be reached, says Augustus Chow, one of the seven pastors at BCAC. That's the driving philosophy behind the purchase of the church's new Fraser Lands campus in East Vancouver. It's not only for the white people to preach the gospel to whites. The Chinese people can preach to whites too, says Chow. He says God gave him a vision in 1990 for a multicultural ministry. And then further down the article it says, you won't find the words Chinese or alliance on the sign outside the Fraser Lands campus. The words were dropped to reflect the board's vision of ministry to the entire surrounding community. And so, to be a church of all nations isn't really a new thing. It has always been in the DNA of our church. But somehow, we just got lost along the way. And we wandered around in our own wilderness journey the past two decades. In addition, the stories of God at Fraser Lands Church are stories of the prayers and God's provision. The story of the prayers and God's provision. You see, from the very beginning, we have witnessed and we have seen the hand of God in the midst of nothing. We had nothing. No usable land, no building, no people, no real ministry, no place to meet. And so we just met outside to pray on this property, just outside there, in that area with the park benches. During the summer, during the spring, winter and fall, in the sunshine, in the rain, and even in the snow. Every Saturday morning for 3 years, we would gather for prayer at 8 a.m., and ask for the Lord's presence to fall on this place, to prepare this land and this community to know about God. And we're thankful that God has indeed provided all this, all that we have today. I mean, just look around. God has provided all this out of nothing. Out of nothing. Now, some of my favorite photos of the early years of our church are these photos. They're photos of our stage right here, where I'm standing, when it was first poured. No walls, no beams, no roof had been put up yet. And as we would stand on the stage each week here to pray, it really is a picture to me of our utter dependence upon God, and for Him to create something out of nothing. Our God is a God who can do that. The Bible says He turns water into wine. He uses 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed the multitude, thousands of people. He heals the sick. He heals the blind. He heals the broken, and He raises the dead to life. And so, as the physical foundations of our church was poured, the spiritual foundations of our church was being formed. Because we're relying on the provision of God through prayer. For example, in the early years, in the English congregation anyways, we had no music besides the organ, courtesy of Nicholas and Jamie. I don't know if they still have the organ or not, but that's all we played when we gathered together for fellowship, the organ. But then one day, a young Filipino man showed up. And I remember him on stage here singing, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. And I just remember after he sang that, we were all blown away by that. Do you remember that, Noel? I don't know where you are. Where you are? Where are you, Noel? Okay, I hear you. Okay, I hear you. Do you remember that? God was using you to remind us that he is sovereign, that he is in control of everything, and that he will provide for us, even though we have very little at the moment. So thank you, Noel, for being used by God in that way. Now, as well, in the early years, we had no drama. Or should I say, we had bad drama. Now, we had a good attitude, okay? We had a very willing spirit. Who else, what other man would put on a wig and wear a dress and put on nylons and be the rapping church lady in order to reach out to others with the love of God? We definitely had the attitude and the willing spirit to do anything for God. It's just that we, or should I say I, could not act. But in the years that followed, God provided people who could act. He provided people who could direct. He provided people who could write their own scripts. And so we're thankful for these brothers and sisters, or else you'd be seeing that rapping church lady again in our service. God forbid that that would ever happen again. As I look back at the prayers over the years, I treasured how we together came early to pray before our 20th year anniversary worship service. How we commission and anoint and send out on mission trips those of us who go through prayer. How we earnestly worship and pray, trusting fully in the provision of God. How we pray and participate in the National Alliance Women Project to raise awareness and money to help those young girls who are trapped in prostitution and the sex trade, and to find healing and restoration in their lives. How we had spur-of-the-moment prayer gatherings as we desperately pleaded to God on behalf of our beloved brother Cliff. And the Lord heard our cry. And he prolonged Cliff's life many times over the past 4 years. We need to remember these times and tell it to our children so that they will know the awesome power of our God. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We cannot forget these times. We cannot forget these moments. We cannot forget these stories of God at Fraserlands Church. The stories of God at Fraserlands Church are stories of the prayers. As well, they're the stories of people over property and programs. Now, although we do have a lot of programs at Fraserlands Church, you know, whether it is Alpha, Awana, you know, Fun Fest, VBS, Kids Camp, Teens Camp, Community Day, Christmas tree decorations, AEID, you know, evening in December, just to mention a few. Although we have a lot of programs at Fraserlands Church, it has never been about the programs, but has always been about the people, you know, lay leaders, deacons, elders, and staff, faithful servants of God who served us well in the past, and each of them has a story of their own to tell. And also those who are on staff, who are presently on staff. And yes, it has been about the stories of babies too. You know, lots and lots and lots of babies. You know, some miracle babies. You know, I love this picture of Callum and Naomi at our last baby dedication just 2 weeks ago when Pastor Josh dedicated them. I don't know if you can see it, but they're holding hands. They weren't holding hands when they first got on the stage, but they were holding hands somewhere as Pastor Josh was dedicating them. I think when they were up on stage, right, and they saw everyone looking at them, and the bright light shining on them, I think they got nervous. And one of them reached over and grabbed the other's hand. Now watch. This photo is going to end up in a wedding slideshow one day when they get married. Just saying, it could happen, right? It could happen. The stories of Fraserlands Church is the story of how we've gone from a handful of kids in the early years to a room full of energetic kids, bursting at the seams. There's 150 kids each week. And now we even have our own kids' choir. It's a story of a bunch of ragtag teens, you know, growing up to be passionate and caring youths, you know, ready to be used by God in places like Guatemala, Costa Rica, you know, China, and even among their peers. Our youth and our college students are being used by God. You know, as well, we have grown from a small fellowship in the Cantonese congregation in the early 90s to a family of loving brothers and sisters in Christ, serving the Lord together. From only one small group in the English congregation when the church first got started 27 years ago, to many small groups of different demographics, different ages, different stages of life. This is the oldest of our groups, the most mature. To a community of believers desiring to make a difference in the areas that God has placed us. From a non-existent ministry in the Mandarin congregation until 1997, when the first service was held at Fraserlands, to a weekly gathering of fellowship, food, and fun. You know, our Mandarin congregation knows how to do food. Just look at that spread. And so, even as we move towards building the final phase of our building, let us remember that it is about the people over property and programs. The people of God in this place and those we're reaching with the gospel. Believers who proclaim their allegiance to Christ and who desire to follow after Him. This is what it's about. The stories of God at Fraserlands Church is the story of the people of God that came together to worship and to sing with joy and great thanksgiving in their hearts. You know, as we celebrated our 20th anniversary in 2011. This is the story of God in our independence in 2014, where we didn't know what we were doing or where we were going, but we ventured out in faith anyways to follow after God. It is the story of God in our 25th anniversary in 2016, just 2 years ago. And I had to include this other picture. You know, we always take picture of the people, right? But we never take picture of the cameraman. So thank you, Andy. Thank you for always taking the picture, but never being part of the picture. And then today, it is the story of God and our beloved Pastor Paul and Molly's retirement. I do have a couple minutes, so I'm just going to take a moment. I don't know where you are, Pastor Paul. I don't see you at all. I see Molly. But he's over there. Okay, all right. So, you know, Pastor Paul, I know that your ministry cannot be described as being flamboyant, you know, because you're not that type of person. But I would describe your ministry as being fruitful. You exemplify the Lord Jesus Christ so well. The Spirit of God lives within you. And the fruit of the Spirit overwhelms and overflows out of you. I'm talking about love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what you leave with us as your legacy, the fruit of the very Spirit of the living God. So thank you for your service, and Auntie Molly for yours as well. And we have great hope that God is leading you to something better, to something even better. The stories of God at Fraserlands Church are stories of the prayers, stories of the people, and then lastly, also stories of the promise. which is being fulfilled. You see, God is fulfilling in us, as our vision statement says, to be a church of all nations transformed through faith and love in Christ. He is preparing us to be this in the future. But before we can do this, we really need to be a church of the nations that we already have amongst us. I mean, if you were to look around, if you were to look around you, we actually already have many from various nations. And if you count the flags at the back, we have 24 flags at the back. And these are flags of the 24 nations that's represented in our church as to the places where we were born. And if you do not see your flag up, please tell one of our staff and we'll get one for you. And we're about to add two more flags as well, two more nations. And I wonder if you can tell me, if you recognize who these flags are of. Anyone recognize this flag? I know you do. It's the flag of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Pastor Joseph will be a member of our church very shortly. And this flag, anyone recognize this flag? Okay, I heard it over there. Zambia. Also another person who will become a member of our church very shortly. God is fulfilling his vision at our church. Brothers and sisters, we need to continue to love each other genuinely and serve one another in humility and in gentleness. To be patient and to bear with one another in love. And as we do so, God will bring the nations to us. His promise is that he will bring the nations to us. And what else is God's promise to us? That he'll never leave us or forsake us. That he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That whoever believes in me, Jesus said, will do greater works than what I've been doing because I'm going to the Father. And then just before returning to his Father, Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. This is the promise of Christ's presence with his church. And then lastly, in this heavenly vision, John saw in Revelation 7, verse 9, the promise of God for the future. The promise of God for the future. And let's read this together, shall we? Ready? We'll start. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Worship team, would you now come up? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Fraserlands Church is on a journey. It's a journey of faith to follow the Lord wherever he may lead us. The stories of God at Fraserlands Church is still being written today. Is God calling you to be a part of this story? You see, it's the story of God. It's the story of our Lord Jesus Christ that weaves all our lives and all our stories together. He is the precious cornerstone. He is the sure foundation in which we are building our lives, our family, our church upon. And he will be faithful. Lord Jesus, we come before you this day, standing here as witnesses of the great things you've done in biblical past history, for sure, but also in the present day, in the lives of individual men and women, sons and daughters of God, in the lives of families who are dedicated to you, in the lives of individuals who go out to work each day and they want to be a light for you in their places of work, in the darkness where they find themselves. And we as well, as a church, want to be that for you today. We want to be witnesses of your glory. We want to be able to tell your story, O Lord Jesus, so that our children and their children will know of the goodness and the greatness and the wonder and the powers of our God. And so we come today with our hearts and our eyes turned to you, for you are our hope and our glory and our salvation. Thank you, Lord God, for reminding us, for helping us go through, in a sense, these memories, these stories that you've given us to tell others. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May we continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.